news time.
Thanks, guys. Cool. Might seem like a bit of a random passage. What about virgins and some other random stuff? But it's actually one of the best passages in the Bible about singleness, which is what we're going to look at today. Before we start, I'm just going to pray, so please pray with me. Dear God, thank you that you love us and that you died for us. And even when we're looking at hectic topics, I pray that that'll just stay on the forefront of our mind. I pray that we'll be able to see the gift of singleness in a different light after this, and that, yeah, everything will just point to you. Amen. Cool. All right, who here plays a sport?
Yeah, me.
All right. Zillin, what sport do you play?
Water polo.
Water polo. Do you really?
No.
No.
Okay, what sport do you actually play?
Basketball.
And what's the goal of basketball?
Put the ball in the hoop.
Nice, put the ball in the hoop. Right, everyone, round of applause for Zillin. Okay, who else plays a sport? Chris, what sport do you play, mate?
Soccer.
And what's the goal of soccer?
Get the ball in the goal.
Get the ball in the goal. Wow, round of applause. All right, one more. Actually, two more. Bella, what sport? Oh. Okay, Bella and Sophie, what sport?
I play touch. I play swimming.
Is swimming a sport? Zillin and I were talking about this morning. Do you reckon swimming's a sport? It's a sport. Alright, and what's the goal of touch and swimming?
Well, for touch, it's score a try. Touch the wall.
Touch the wall, okay. And Ethan, what sport do you play?
Surfing.
Wow, is that a sport?
Yeah.
No. Alright, hands up if surfing's a sport.
It's not.
I don't think it's a sport. I think it's a lifestyle. Anyways, and what is the goal of surfing, Ethan?
To get barreled.
To get barreled. Okay. Whoa, everybody watch this cute video. It's literally so cute. I found it this week.
Is that Ethan?
Yeah, watch this, guys.
Oh. Whoa. Cool. Alright, so, pretty cute video, hey. I thought that was so cute. But the thing is that with all these sports, I didn't just do that for no reason. So all these sports, they kind of have a main goal, right? A main objective, like with basketball, it's to get the ball in the hoop. Or with soccer, it's to get the ball in the goal. Or with swimming, it's to touch the wall. And surfing is to get this barrel and claim it like the little kid, right? But what if I asked you what the ultimate goal of Christianity was? Like, why do you live your life for this God? What's the point? How do you score the goal? How do you touch the wall? How do you get the barrel? What's the main goal of Christianity? This isn't a trick question. We know that our ultimate goal, our main storyline as Christians, is to pursue God, to live for Him with everything that we have, and obey His commands, right? However, sometimes does it ever feel like maybe in church, maybe at youth, maybe in our hearts, that we might think about getting married more than we think about God? Or we might think about dating and relationships more than we even think about God. And maybe this is when we see a bunch of our friends dating, but we aren't. Or when we idolize relationships and marriage, that we just kind of forget about God. That everything in life kind of leads up to that moment where you'll walk down the aisle or you'll kiss the bride, and then like boom, completed it, life goal over, like ultimate mission accomplished, you're married, you've reached the pinnacle of Christian life, congratulations. And if you don't get married, unlucky. You didn't complete the mission, you didn't score the goal, you didn't get the barrel, didn't touch the wall. And if I'm being honest, I've definitely had this mindset before, like Jesus is cool, but really my ultimate goal in life is to like get married. And you might be forgiven for thinking like this. We at church are surrounded by couples getting married pretty much every weekend. Literally one of my best mates got married yesterday. You guys all know Ben. There's, you know, two of my closest friends have gotten married in the last 6 months. There's about 100 weddings coming up. Ethan's married, as we can see. Everyone, round of applause for Ethan Brew. Yeah. Fitchy's married. Yeah. Britt's married. Steph's getting married. Josh is married. Seems like this is the thing to do as a Christian, right? Seems like this is the ultimate goal. So yeah, it might be fair enough to make this your dream, your happily ever after, your main storyline. But that's not what this passage says at all. In fact, that's not really what the Bible says at all. So, this is an exercise. If you take the Bible, everybody lift a Bible. If you don't have one, that's all good. It's more of a metaphor. If you took out all the Bible says about singleness, marriage, and dating, you might have, a bit of Proverbs. You might have Song of Songs, some of it, Ephesians 5, Genesis, this stuff about marriage. So if we're being generous, I reckon you might have this much, right? Singleness, dating, and marriage, that much of your Bible. And for some of us, because marriage is the main storyline, our main goal, we're like, what the heck is all this stuff, right? What's this doing? Because my main goal is to get married, my main goal is dating, that's the thing I think about the most. What do I do with this? But what this bit is about, this big bit, like this is the main storyline of your life. That these things matter, but they're not the main story. And what is the main story? Well, Paul, he talks about it in the chapter before, 1 Corinthians 6. And he says, some of you are fornicators, idolaters, thieves, sinners, people that won't inherit the kingdom of God, right? And he says, such were some of you. Oh. But then he says, you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And what he's saying is that Jesus has taken your sin and through his death on the cross, through his blood, he's washed you clean. And he's taken you from that sin and chaos of this earth and into the kingdom of God and seen you high. That is the main storyline. That is the main point. That is the touching the wall of Christianity. So if your ultimate goal in life as a Christian is to get married, and if you care more about your relationships or dating or future relationships or dating than you do about the gospel, I really want to challenge that today. And I want to say, don't. Because, yeah, this right here is the main storyline about God and how he saves us. And it's so much, so, so much greater and better than earthly marriage. Anyways, that's the premise. Now let's look into 1 Corinthians 7 and see what it says about singleness. So it starts by saying in verse 7 that I wish all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that. So straight off the bat, Paul, he calls singleness a gift from God. And that's my first point today, if you're like taking notes or something, that singleness is a gift from God. He says, I wish many of you were as I am, meaning single, but each of you has your own gift, which I know for many of us, that's not really a gift that we really want. For example, like I'm half Korean, and my Korean grandparents often get me pretty random gifts. For example, one time, this is a few years ago, but one time they like went to Korea and they came back, they're like, oh, Josh, we have this gift for you. Like, it's going to be really cool. And I was opening it, I was like, oh, cool. And then I opened it, I was like, oh, toe socks. That's, thanks, hominy. Which is Korean for grandma. Kevin gets it. And what? Anyways. Maybe something like that. It's like, oh, thanks, Dad. Like, singleness. Like, I didn't really want that, you know? Like, why would he do that if my desire is to be married? Why would he give me a gift that I don't want? But if we believe what this book says about God and about us, it says that God is the fount of all knowledge and all love, and he does all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And what that means is that when he gives us something, he is wise and loving and good in doing so. That means for some of us today, I want to really challenge your picture of God today and ask, do you trust him? Trust that for the season he's put you in now, this gift he's given you, that it just might be good. I also do think it's fair enough to ask the question, why would a loving God like give me this gift of singleness when I have a strong desire to be in a relationship or to be married? Well, he answers this question though. So come with me to verse 35. He says, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. He says, I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not saying this to be cruel. Then you go, well, why is he doing it? Well, it says that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Undivided devotion to the Lord. That is why God gives us this gift of singleness, for undivided devotion to the Lord. Everyone say that with me. Undivided devotion to the Lord. Cool. So what is undivided devotion? So this leads us on to point two, which is use your singleness. So what is undivided devotion and why do you have to be single for that? You might be thinking, like, I want to be devoted to God. I want to have my undivided devotion to God, but I can do that dating. I can do that married. I can do that if I have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Paul says in verse 32, he says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. And here he's like so clearly advocating singleness. Hey, he says, I'm doing it because it provides a freedom from the anxieties and the stresses of marriage. And then he goes on to say, an unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I reckon this is super black and white. Paul is literally saying that single people are anxious to please the Lord and married people are anxious to please their spouse. I just want to ask you, Senior High, like, does this define your singleness and anxiety to please the Lord? I would imagine probably not, for a lot of us at least. But Paul, he's literally saying that that's the point of it. That's the whole point of singleness, is to have that anxiety to please the Lord. It's the whole reason why God gives us this gift, right? So if you're missing out on that, if you're missing out on the whole point, then your singleness will probably become super frustrating. For example, playing basketball without a ball. Like, it's confusing and it's probably not going to work, hey? And he says, this gift is to secure a devotion in God. And if you're missing that, then yeah, it's going to be the most frustrating gift ever. It's going to be like the toe socks. You're like, oh, what do I do? What do I do with them? But if you use your singleness for the intended purpose, then, you know? And I don't think this means you can't long for marriage or for a relationship. Don't let that longing slay your appetite for living. You have an opportunity right now to live, and you have some unique opportunities right now, specifically as a single person that married people don't have. And namely, you have freedom and you have time. Freedom and time for undivided devotion to the Lord. Year 12s, I'm looking like specifically at you guys, I reckon. Like, you've now finished school and you have freedom and time that is literally just not available to other people. And these are things not to just fill with distraction or even to pursue your own fun and ambition, but I think they're dedicated by God to pursue an undivided devotion to Him. And that's why they're there. That you might pursue Him. I'll give you an example. So I have a friend, her name's Sophie. You guys might know her. She leads junior high. And she's single. And earlier this year, she was literally just scrolling on Instagram and she got an ad for a short-term mission, three-week mission trip to Tanzania, as in Tanzania, Africa. And she prayed about it and then she just signed up immediately. And she went to Africa. She shared the gospel with communities that need it. People who need the gospel. She used her singleness. She used her freedom and her time, and she served the Lord. She leveraged that gift of singleness that God had given her, and she used it to glorify Him. And honestly, like, a married person just cannot just do that. Like, a married person can't just go to Africa and share the gospel for 3 weeks without, at minimum, like, a massive conversation with their spouse. And in general, it's just going to be so much harder for a married person to do something like that. And that's kind of just the way it is. Senior High, there is a point to singleness, and it is more than just waiting for marriage, because if it was, then Jesus was a failure. Then Paul was a failure, and surely no one here thinks that. They chose a life of singleness to use the gift of singleness for the kingdom. Jesus, he did this. He forwent marriage to leverage his life for us. And Paul did this too. You know, he pursued singleness to devote his life solely to God. I reckon pretty much every Christian of all time has been influenced by Paul and his teachings, his writings. Yeah, singleness is to be used, to be leveraged for that undistracted, undivided devotion to the Lord. So yeah, senior high, use your singleness. Year 12, use your extra singleness. Go on mission, go tell people about Jesus. Next year, lead on camps, lead on study camps. Senior high, use your singleness to read your Bible. Many of us believe the stories in the Bible, but how many of us actually spend time reading it? Do you say you believe the Bible, but you haven't read most of it? How much time do you spend on your phone, on TikTok, watching Netflix? Instead, could you devote some of your freedom and some of your time to the Lord in prayer or in His Word? I'm not anti-dating, I'm not anti-marriage, but I just want you to make sure that you use the season that you're in to pursue God. The word devotion that I've been talking about in Greek is a combination of two words. It means good and beside. So get really good at being close beside the Lord. That's what singleness is for. So yeah, use it. Use your singleness. So my last point is a season of singleness. So you might be thinking, is singleness actually better than marriage then for being a Christian? Some of you might be thinking, whoa, like I really want to be devoted to the Lord. So if he wants me to be single for the rest of my life, I guess I will be. Like, I don't really want to be. How do I process that? What do you do with that? Jesus spoke to this in Matthew 19, verse 12. He says that for there are eunuchs who are born that way. Pretty much a eunuch was someone who, through unfortunate events, was not able to procreate, which for those days kind of meant that you're not going to get married. It says there are eunuchs who were born that way. There are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others. That's a heavy category. And then there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And then it says the one who can accept this should accept it. And he's not saying that they did something like to themselves, like surgically. He's saying that they chose a life of singleness, right? They chose that life in order to leverage, in order to use the freedoms of that gift of singleness for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus did this and Paul did this. Is it better? Well, if we go back to verse 11, it says, one verse before, it says, not everyone can accept this word, but only to those to whom it has been given. And yeah, what Jesus is saying, that he's saying that God's going to give you grace for the moment. So if he puts you in a position, he's going to give you the power to live in that position. And for many of us in this room, he's given you a season of singleness, and it has great purpose. And he'll give you the power to sustain you in that season. And he wants you to use that singleness to pursue him. And then that season will end in marriage. Statistically, that's probably a larger percentage of people in this room. And then some of you, he'll position you with the power and the resources, and then your drive and desire to be married will gradually diminish and you won't want it. And you'll be like Paul, who froths his singleness and he uses it for God's kingdom. And statistically, it's a smaller group, but that will be some of you in this room. Myself, personally, I'm single and I have been for most of my life. I've seen Christian friends date and get married. I'm surrounded by people who are married and in love and dating. My two best mates were both married by 22. Personally, I've never felt romantic love or understood what it really feels like at all. And there have been times that this has been tough and I've been insecure in my singleness. Wondering why God has given me this gift when I would have preferred if he'd given me the gift of marriage. But in the last couple years, through getting to know God better in his word, I found so much joy and freedom in being able to have undivided devotion to the Lord. And this has meant that I'm able to throw myself into mission opportunities whenever I want, preaching the good news of Jesus to the lost. It's meant that I can spend more time in His Word, spend more time thinking about God, more time praying, more time investing in Christian friendships, being discipled by older Christians, discipling younger ones. It means I can leverage my singleness for undistracted, undivided devotion to the Lord. And it means that I have more freedom and I have more time to pursue God. Personally, I might not know a romantic love. I know a love that is so much better, literally so much better than that. That romantic love was literally just created to point towards. So I froth my singleness, and even though personally, I still have a longing to be married at some point, I'm single right now, and I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that gift for God. I'm going to use this season for God. I hope you would too. And if you're thinking about dating or if you're thinking about marriage, I don't want to steal stuff from Josh's dating sermon. But don't leave this season. Don't leave this gift of singleness, this amazing chance to devote yourself fully to God for someone who isn't sprinting at God. Definitely don't leave singleness to date a non-Christian. I'm not going to even speak on that. But even with Christians, like, ask yourself, does this person have an undivided devotion to the Lord? Will this person make me want to sprint at Jesus? Because if they're not, then it's not worth leaving this season that God has ordained for you. I know this is a hectic topic, so I want to bring us back to the start where we saw that the main storyline is Jesus and the gospel, and that, by the love of God through Jesus' death on the cross, we've been saved. And whatever season you're in, I encourage you to pursue God with all you have, and more, because He's worth it.